Greetings to everyone here today in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Incomprehensible as we think about all that Jesus is to us and what he means to us and just how dependent we are on him and on his care. Glad to see everyone here today. All our visitors and young people, I'm just blessed to see so many people who are wanting to serve the Lord and wanting to make a difference, wanting to build the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a kingdom that is everlasting. It will have no end. We can be a part of it. That's so wonderful. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Peter Chapter 1. Just want to draw a few thoughts from here. In the beginning of the chapter here, he talks about the provision that Christ has made for us, for our eternal soul, and that we can have this lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we can have the promise of an eternal inheritance, and that's reserved in heaven for us. But he also intimates here that it comes at a price, at a cost. And it talks about the trial of our faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. And the trial of our faith is precious because it refines us and brings us into holiness. And that's what it says there in Hebrews chapter 12. And so it puts purpose in trouble and in unpleasant things that we face in the trial of our faith. It puts it into perspective. And then in verse 13 is where I want to begin reading. And he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." In other words, he says, because of the things that he has just said before, be encouraged. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be encouraged. Because even though our faith may be tried, and the Christian life is to be a life of joy, yet it also is a life of testing and being perfected. We heard about that this morning in the Sunday school devotions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does that involve, perfecting holiness? What does it take to make us more holy? And what is holiness? Where it says, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so the encouragement is to keep on keeping on and be faithful to the end. That's where the reward is, to those who are faithful to the end. And it's so often we're tempted to cool off, to slack up, to get too casual or lazy in our Christian life. Those are things that we fight against. But he says, keep on keeping on and be faithful to the end. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we know that that's only possible by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but it's also needful that the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit is active and working in our lives. We can be saved by the blood of Jesus, and then we can just sit back and say, well, now it's done. Nothing more for me to do. But that's not what the scripture teaches. But rather that the Holy Spirit needs to be active. We need to be operating under the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis, so that we can be perfected in holiness. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And I think that fear that he's talking about there is the fear of God that brings about a purifying effect in our lives, that we don't want to displease God. Not that we are afraid of him. God says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, but rather that we respect him and honor his word. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, we have something that's precious to us. What do we do with it? We value it for one thing, and we guard it, we protect it. We don't handle it carelessly. It has value to us, and I think the same is true with the gift of salvation through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that we value it and we treasure it and we protect it, preserve it, so that we can continue to benefit. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth to the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the implication here is that that is possible through the Spirit, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And so the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us is very important in the aspect of brotherhood and brotherly love. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then finally, he concludes this chapter with these words, and they have become very pertinent to us. Just last evening, we got word that my brother-in-law, Ruth's sister Barbara's husband, passed away. And this will make the third funeral in 3 weeks now that we've attended, and you have to wonder who's going to be next. And, you know, it could be me. Life is uncertain. It's brief. And I think the message of Peter in this chapter is get ready. And it follows through on to the end. Be ready. Be ready for the Lord's, for that time when the Lord calls our name. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And it is the word of hope. There is something beyond this life. There's eternity ahead. And we want to be sure. We want to make our calling and election sure. So that when God calls our name, that we're ready to go. Our feet will leave the ground when the trumpet sounds. So may the Lord be with you as you continue the service here, and look forward to the message from Brother Murray. And unfortunately, because of the distance, we will have to leave very soon. It's a long ways to drive. And so you can pray for us as we travel. And we don't know what lies ahead, even on the highway. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So may the Lord be with you. Shall we kneel together to pray?